It looks like we're recording. Good. I'm going to call the Candia Planning Board meeting of March 3rd, 2021 in session at 7:02. Would you all rise and please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag? The Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
You know what I was thinking? That we ought to have everybody on Zoom start just about 2 seconds before us. Yeah. And then it might line up the same.
Yeah. All right. Let me just put it up here. Who am I missing? Okay, we'll start off with roll. Rudy here. Mark?
Here.
Brian?
Here.
Judy?
Here.
Joyce? Scott?
He's there.
You're on mute, Scott.
Unmute, Scott.
Wake him up.
There we go.
Here.
Okay. There he is. And Josh?
Here.
Okay. We do have a quorum.
You'll get Rob.
And Rob, you are here.
Do you need me?
Yes. Unless Joyce shows up, sometimes she shows up a little bit late. But
I think Joyce sent a note out, said she wasn't going to be able to make this week.
She did. You're correct.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
For the record, Rob is going to be on the board in place of Joyce for this meeting. All right.
In that case, Rudy, I'm here.
Very good. Thank you. We don't have any new business for tonight, so we'll just go into old business right now. Case 21-002, which was continued from March 17th of 2021. Applicant Copart, 134 Raymond Road, Candy, New Hampshire, 03034. Owner, Branchbrook Holdings, LLC. P.O. Box 410, Candy, New Hampshire, 03034, and U-Pullet, LLC, 1015 Meadow Lane, Dunbarton, New Hampshire, 03046. Property location, Raymond Road, Candy, New Hampshire, 03034, map 409, lots 96, 96-1, and lot 100. The intent is a major site plan to expand the parking area of Coparts. Brian's not on the fault tonight, okay. This is a continuation of the meeting. That there was a few items that still needed to be addressed, so we'll go ahead. And before you start, I have one question for you. When you did the presentation last week, you went through a really good presentation on how things were done and stuff.
Thank you.
But one of the things, this is just a personal question, is when you went through how they do with cars, that the cars come in and go out pretty quick.
Right.
Is that actually what happens?
Yeah, they did. It's the longest period of time it takes them is for clearing out the title, because a lot of these are salvage title. So they go through the state of New Hampshire. There's a whole team in that building that gets the titles cleared up. Once the titles are cleared, they're put on the auction and right back out of there again.
So with all of the expansion in here, with the cars in here, there'll be a lot more.
There's just more in
more
and
coming
out.
In and out.
Yeah,
ah.
Just it gives them, yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
I was just wondering. I know that it used to be a salvage yard over there.
Right.
But then when you said that, I was thinking about that, and I said, how does Coparts actually work, these things?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now these cars just come in, get a barcode on them, go into the
They
system.
Don't even process anything in the building, do they?
No. There's nothing done. No, they literally just barcode it and get it on, take all the pictures, get it online. Once the title's cleared up, goes out for auction, out the door again. And again, this is bigger than really what they need at the moment, but we just didn't want to keep doing these 5-acre approvals.
So okay.
We kind of, you know, Copart took a look at what they really needed to finish this facility out so we could just end the whole permitting process, you know.
Very good.
In the near future.
Because then it mirrors more of their other facilities.
It does. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks.
So, my name is, you need to open the meeting first, or you?
I'm going to open the public hearing, or reopen the public hearing for Coparts at 7:07, and go ahead.
Okay. My name is Tom Severino, here to represent 134 Raymond Road, Copart. Here with me is Ron Severino with Candia South Branch, property owner. Tom Smith here to represent Copart. Joe Coronati is with me again this evening for Jones and Beach. And I see online here Ari Pollack, legal counsel representing Copart, is with us also. And again, yes, we're here as a continuation from last week. Jones and Beach did address all of the items that Brian had. They went back and forth a couple of times, addressed their last few items, and I believe on Brian's, Jones and Beach sent in a response letter that covered those last few items. So I think the only conditions that are outstanding are the AOT permit and the wetlands permit. I'm happy to go through either some of those plans if you'd like again. I know we went through everything pretty thoroughly last week, but I'm happy to, for any of the board members, open up or go through the plans if anybody would like to see any of those items. I'm happy to answer any questions. And again, Joe is here, could also answer any of the questions as well.
Right. Did everybody get a copy of the response letter from Jones and Beach? Okay, good. So I won't bore everybody with going through everything in detail, but just to let people know that there were only, just for the record, there were only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 items that were left in there. Snow storage area was covered, and then the project permits are in there. The only comment that I would have on that is that in the one for the stormwater pollution prevention plan, should not be a condition of approval, but a requirement prior to start of construction, it would be the same thing. We would put it in as a condition of approval that before any construction takes place, then that has to be submitted.
It's on there, Alan.
Yeah, it's on there as a requirement that it be done. You've got it in there, it's going to be, but instead of just having it in a letter, if we have it on the plans, and I believe
it is on the plans.
You've got it in here somewhere, right?
Yeah, it's on one of the sheets, yeah.
Yeah, okay, I think it's up in there. So yeah, if you put that on there, and it's a condition, I don't think there's going to be any issues.
Okay.
I think that was that one. And I know that Brian hasn't looked at these, but it looks like all of his comments to me have been addressed appropriately. The operation and maintenance manual is in here. I did see that.
Yeah, it also came with the AOT as well, so we weren't going to submit it because it was already with everything.
Oh, okay.
I think it's with the wetlands permit too, but anyway, we just submitted it in.
Perfect. And then we did grant a waiver in the notice of decision. Let's see, I think that was just for the boundary line adjustment, the lot line adjustment,
right?
That we did the waiver. Yeah, okay. And this one, the waiver that we did request, or that they did request, it is on here, I believe.
So the plan scale.
The plan scale, yeah, and I believe that's on here. Joe, do you remember which? There it is, right on the front page.
The cover sheet is the waiver for the plan scale.
Yep.
Perfect. Okay. And the gravel access roads have been graded to show the slope.
Yes.
So, okay. All right. I believe everything went very, very quickly and efficiently with between Stantec and Jones and Beach.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Okay. Any questions?
I guess, Rudy, the only question I have is, I know Brian had sent his original response, and then they clarified or answered a majority of those questions. I can see that in the SharePoint link that they sent to us via Lisa.
Yeah.
I haven't gone through the actual plans. Does Brian need to review those plans again to make sure that everything we've answered in the response document has found its way onto the plan, or do we still do some kind of a conditional approval today?
Good question. you're probably correct that we should probably just make sure that we do get the okay from Brian, because we did get this. When was this? March 1st. When was it? Yesterday.
Did you speak with Brian and all of this? I did not know the. We did email it to him, and he did just get it yesterday or Monday. But he hasn't had a lot of time to look at it.
Okay.
Yes, we still. Right,
I think that's more our responsibility than Brian.
Well,
we still rather have a conditional approval, obviously, but and only be. I say that is because these are. You could physically see these. It's not like you. I mean, you open up the plan and
yeah.
There's a gravel access road.
You know,
you open up the plan, you could see the snow. It was only. It was two very minor. I mean, we basically did what he wanted.
Right. I agree with both of you. I think probably what the best thing to do is to go through these and just show where they are on the plan, so that
sure.
We can feel comfortable that it's been addressed not only in the letter, but it's been addressed on the plan. So, how do you feel about that, Rob? Would you think that would suffice?
Yeah, I think so. And listen, I don't think it prevents us from doing any kind of an approval tonight.
No.
As long as it's always, hey, you know, if Brian looks at it and finds something else and he comes back to us, you know, I guess we need to have some kind of recourse.
Right.
But I think if we go through those couple of particular areas and point them out, just let me know which dock we need to open. I've got two here. I got stormwater and then plan set.
It'll just be the plan set.
Yeah, it's not the stormwater. That's
yeah. We don't want to go through the stormwater plan.
Okay.
So the first one is the snow storage.
Yes.
Area.
Sheet C4. It's page 5 of 10. It's the site plan. It's the one in partially in color. We did highlight multiple snow storage areas around the site. There's you know, one location is down here. There's
oh, yeah.
multiple clouded areas where we have opportunities for snow storage with the current layout fully parked. The site's not fully parked. Obviously, they have many, many more snow storage areas. But Coparts is all over snowy regions, and they're used to operating like this. So if they have to move cars, they can do that. They, okay. you know, they control their. If they can't fit any more cars because they have snow and too many cars, then they have to move them to another site.
Yeah, I think probably one of the concerns would be to just make sure those roadways are always accessible for fire apparatus if need be, or whatever emergency that might happen. So, okay.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Those would always be available.
I can see those. You've got one.
There's probably six, two, or seven. Maybe even eight locations.
Three,
four, five.
Yeah. You didn't really feel that you needed something over here. You didn't feel that you needed anything down in the back area.
No, I mean they're lucky enough to have front end loaders on site all the time.
Okay. Yep.
They basically live there, so they're a little more availability to snow removal and snow moving than most people.
All right, good. Yep. Then the second one, the proposed plans must include the following permits, and just want to make sure that they're on there. I think on the first page you've got the AOT, you've got the wetlands permit, and then
the
stormwater pollution prevention plan down there.
Yeah, we also have the two state permits also on sheet C4.
C4.
As a note, those approval numbers, once we get them
entered
here, and if this plan's recorded, then the approval numbers get.
I did see that.
Get recorded, yes, note 3.
Okay.
The next item is a detail. On sheet D1, which in the back of the set, page 7, kind of a detail. And it's an important detail, but a small detail. So there's we have a drain manhole, and in the drain manhole we have pipes coming out of it, and the comment is about the how those pipes are connected to the drain manhole.
Oh, okay, so you got rid of the mortar reference.
Right, we previously had it mortared. We had two options. The Stantec wanted the mortar removed, and they wanted to go to a rubber seal.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we did that.
Okay, then the drainage analysis, the O&M manual, we do have that.
Yes, yeah, it's like a 50-page document that we sent in.
If anybody wants to see it, I can take it out and hold it up, but we do have it. And the new comments, the waiver request.
Yes, that was been added to the cover sheet.
Yeah, that's on the cover sheet.
Yeah.
And then the other one was on the gravel access paths.
Yes, we had Stantec had originally asked for these gravel access ways.
That's on C5?
Yes, sorry, C5, the grading and drainage plan. We had added the gravel access ways previously when we saw you last time, but we did not grade them out.
So oh, okay.
We've graded them out, which changes the grading and the slopes in that area, but now we have 15% driveways that lead down to those outfalls for future maintenance.
Yeah,
which is a good idea. That was a good comment, and that was really it.
All right, so Rob, does that answer your concern? Address your concern?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Looks like they're all in there and good to go.
Okay. Let me see here. So I think the only thing that I would suggest is in the conditions that the following permits need to be obtained, or the following documents need, I guess permits would be right, for the AOT, the wetlands, and the stormwater pollution prevention plan. But I did notice one thing that I wanted to ask you about. I don't remember if this came up when we did the boundary line adjustments or not, so correct me if I did. I noticed in the plans in here for the bound sets, you've got one iron rod to be set, and then that was typical. Am I assuming that all of the changes in direction will have iron rods?
Yes, all the... I assume you're looking at a
C1.
C1, yeah.
Yes, all the solid black circles are all the iron rods to be set. So we'll basically be setting all the monuments at all the property corners that change direction for the new lot line adjustment. And it's quite a few. It's
right.
17 or 18 of them.
The only concern is that regulations call for granite bounds. Not iron pipes.
At property corners or at street intersections?
Property corners.
All of them would be granite bounds?
Yeah. However, I'm just real quick bring that back up.
At all for even direction changes?
It's always been bound the only time we get the iron rods in the stone wall and stuff.
Yeah. What?
Yeah. The wall apart.
A lot of times with the stone walls, we end up setting drill holes.
With the drill holes, they've accepted those on them.
But you never know when you're going to find a good rock. You know, you're not
getting
into a stone
wall
in there.
I've got to remember where that was. Because there's a couple of different things on that. We have granted waivers for bounds, depending on what the situation is. Like if in some cases, well, actually, there will be a lot of new bounds, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's quite a few of them, but I may know a guy with an excavator that could make the... the bounds go in a little easier if we run into challenging digging.
That's not in there, it's in there. But that's the only thing that I noticed when I was looking at this. I didn't see it the last time, but then when I saw the iron rod to be set.
Yeah, I would say if we normally use granite bounds, we should stick with the granite bounds.
And if there's a situation where it's not feasible, I guess is going right. to put it to put a granite bound in, there are other things that can be done.
Right.
I believe Jim Franklin had talked once about there are some, I don't know if they're considered iron rods or whatever, but when they're installed, there's also a cap on the top of them that if it's disturbed at all, then it's obvious that it's been disturbed. The drill holes are not usually very good unless you have a drill hole in basically some solid rock that really is going to be hard to move. And then there's a locator that's near that, as close to possible, in there to find that point.
Okay.
Surveyors love drill holes.
I know, and you know,
they feel the most confident with a drill hole or a buried iron pipe. But all of our pins, if we set a pin, we have to set a cap on it.
Yes.
We have an aluminum cap that you can see. It says the company's name, the surveyor's cert. But if we can set granite bounds, and that's the town's requirement, then we'll simply switch the plan to show granite bounds, and then. Oftentimes we do a certificate of monumentation
mm-hmm.
to say that we set these bounds. And then we also note that if we ran into ledge, thick pavement, boulder, a tree, and we had to set some, sometimes you run into it just a giant, 3-foot tree,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
right? Where you want to put the corner and we have to set an offset bound or an offset monument. We normally do that and then we update the plan to state the final lot line adjustment will have the monuments that are set
right
on the plan so that you know that it's not to be set anymore. It's these are what are set.
Okay. Yeah, that would be fine. Even with large rocks, these two guys move large rocks for a living. So
yeah.
It can be done.
Right. Yeah, get the right team for setting monuments right here.
But it's just a matter of making sure that we have something that's consistent. With the regulations
yeah,
in there,
absolutely.
And if you
absolutely.
Do that, we'll just put that as a condition of approval.
Yeah,
that
absolutely. Change that sheet.
Yeah, that yeah. The bounds are set with granite.
Okay.
Other than that, I looked it over. It looked fine to me. Any other questions or concerns?
Rob's got his hand up.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Take over just for a minute. I'm just gonna
go ahead, Rob.
I just gave you a thumbs up.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I said all good. Yep.
Oh, there's Scott.
There, let's see. Oh, there's Brian.
Yeah, there's Brian.
Sorry, Brian, I didn't see you. Lisa's not here, so.
Bear with us.
Yeah. You know, it's a problem when you have the chairman doing computer stuff. Brian, I don't know if you probably didn't hear us or not, but. Are you available? I mean, can you hear us now and participate?
Did you accept him?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, he's in there. He's not on mute or anything.
No.
I don't know if we just lost him for a couple minutes. Oh. There he is. He's on mute now, so maybe he's coming back.
And I don't see him as I've got him muted, right?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, he muted himself.
Okay. Brian, you're on mute right now. Can you come back off mute?
There you are.
There he goes.
We did go through your letter. I think you've got, not your letter, but the response to your letter. We went through the letter and noticed everything on the plans. Was there anything else that you felt from your final review of that letter, whether we needed to be concerned with anything? We just talked about one thing that I had a concern that they had specified iron pipes for some of the monumentation, and our regulations call for granite, and they're going to do that wherever they can. But other than that, do you have anything else?
Granite bounds versus iron pipes.
Yeah. Do you have anything else?
I don't think so. I think most of the necessary requirements have been covered. They've been very thorough. I think at this point it's a waiting game for the permits. Mm-hmm. Those are critical. I think once the permits are approved, the alteration terrain and the wetlands permit, I think we should get the final drainage package for one more review, one more check. And I think at that point, everything looks fine. I think they're in decent shape.
Great. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sounds good. One of the things we're going to put in as the conditions of the permit, we'll do the AOT and the wetlands, and we'll also put in the stormwater pollution prevention plan as one of the conditions, because it'll all be, it'll have to be submitted before construction starts anyway. So the three of them will be just submitted once they get in here, and then they can start construction. All right, anybody else have any other questions? Any questions from any of the members of the public? Which I don't see anybody up there right now, but okay.
The only other thing on that question that Tommy had earlier,
go ahead.
It was noted in our minutes.
On which one?
For the property deeds and the plans will be recorded, so it's all at the same time.
Oh, it is. Okay, so we'll modify that, but we're going to have to bring that up as a separate item, I think. Because that's because that's under the boundary one. That's not
right. But I'm just saying that was in here in our minutes, so yeah. It was brought up, discussed.
So we'll make sure that we clarify that as a
another
business.
Other than that, no, I got that.
All right. I'm going to close the public hearing at 7:30, and discussion by any of the board members on the plans. I mean, the proposal is submitted. No hearing.
Here.
Hearing none. I accept a motion to accept the plan as submitted with the following conditions: that the following permits are the following approved permits are submitted to the town prior to construction: the alteration of terrain, the wetlands permit, the stormwater pollution prevention plan, and then also that all boundary monumentation will be done with granite bounds unless site conditions make that impractical.
Rudy, I think you said accept it.
I'm sorry, you're right. Approved the submittal. Anybody want to make a motion?
That was a great motion.
Rudy, I'll make the motion.
Mark has made the motion a second.
I'll second it.
Second.
So who seconded it? You or him?
Don't matter.
All right, we'll give it to Josh.
Go ahead, Brian.
All right, we have a motion and a second. We'll do a roll call vote. Rudy, yes. Mark?
Yes.
Ryan?
Yes.
Judy?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Josh?
Yes.
And Rob?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. You're good to go. Thank you very much for the work in this. I think this went very well. I
really
appreciate
that. All prepared like this and that.
It was terrific to work with, and just to get all the back and forth and great comments, and just really worked really well to go back and forth. So. Thank you to Brian as well.
Good, good. Yeah, it was a good effort. All right.
So how do we address the other?
Let's see here. I can bring that up now. In our last meeting, we did approve the boundary line adjustments for this project. And as one of the official notice of action items, or condition actually, was the applicant will submit to the town of Candia the updated plans with monumentation set at all new corners and noted on the plans. Mylars and new property deeds for recording at the Rockingham County Register of Deeds. There's a little bit of confusion on that, I do believe what we had talked about was that it was going to be all submitted at the same time, but the applicant had brought up the fact that it can't all be done at the same time.
Correct. We need to have the boundary line adjustment recorded, because that plan number needs to be noted on the deeds.
Okay.
And then the deeds will be prepared. We can't, if we bring you deeds, they can't be signed,
yeah,
because we can't legally have a closing.
Because you don't have numbers.
Plan is recorded. And no one, you know, it's just the order of things.
I think we can clarify this. We won't have to do anything with opening a public hearing or anything, because, and Brian, I think you took a look at the minutes, and it's really not specified that everything has to be
right.
submitted. Just for the record, for clarification on this, we won't change the official notice of action. However, the understanding from the board and also to the applicant is that the plans and the Mylars will be submitted for approval. For approval and recording. At the registry. Once that's recorded, the deeds will be prepared, and
correct.
Then they will be brought in to be submitted to the registry.
Exactly.
So just two trips for her instead of one.
There'll be two trips for Lisa. Yeah,
well,
Lisa.
There's going to be a gap of time as well.
That's fine.
There has to be a closing to take
right.
place.
That's okay.
A lot of pieces of the puzzle, and I know the intent is that, in the board, we talked about this in the past. A lot of times, these boundary line adjustments never get deeded over because people think they're done. It's a done deal.
Right.
Sometimes there isn't any closings or transfer of money.
Yeah.
And there should be a mechanism to try to follow that up. And
well, actually there's not, because we don't let anybody else record stuff anymore.
Right.
Lisa
right.
does all the recording, so it's, you're right, it used to get missed.
Because right.
a lot of people used to say, well, I'll record it. And we say, it never happened.
Right.
So, and that was a suggestion from, was it the registry that suggested that?
I believe it was, yeah.
So
yeah.
now Lisa does,
right.
we
so
don't allow anybody.
Her, it's one of her checklist items that she's
correct.
Going to make sure it gets
yeah.
done.
So correct. She's pretty good about
but
that. She knows she has
but
to.
But obviously it can't be done simultaneously.
Right.
Because there'll be a sequence here where she records that. Ari will prepare, you know, the deeds. They'll close with you pull it. That deed could be recorded. They can't close with us till we meet those conditions. Then we get our permits in a few months. Then they close with us. That deed could be recorded, you
right.
know, so the whole, but all that has to happen, like, in that sequence. Right.
So, should be, like, April...
2022?
So, thanks for...
Hopefully not.
thanks for bringing that up
yeah,
to
no
our
problem.
Attention.
No, okay.
Yeah,
it's just... Just wanted to make sure there was no problem. Ari was concerned about it. We just want to make sure...
That's probably
that
a good
clarified.
Note to us.
This is Ari Pollock. I appreciate it.
Great.
Good
yeah.
note to us in the future, too.
Yeah, I am going to make a note of that. And Lisa, when you do review these, just make sure that we do have that sequence set up on the approval and
right.
checklist
okay.
items. So.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay.
All right, very good.
Thank you.
Good, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Thank you.
So when are you heading back out, Ronnie? A couple of days? Or
Sunday. Sneak out lunch or something.
Yeah, maybe.
Don't you have a project that you've got to get started down there too?
Pretty soon.
Yeah. He's got people. all those people are only a phone call away.
That's true.
Thank you.
It is. Night, Tom.
Take care, Tom.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, no problem. Thank you.
Good job. Too bad they weren't all that prepared.
Yeah.
They could all be in Camp View with Tom. That'd be perfect.
Yeah.
That's true.
Right.
Yeah, they do know their stuff. They
yeah.
do know their business.
All right. So, approval of the minutes for February 17th. And
if I didn't see anything, so I'll make a motion that we approve them as presented. February 17th, 2021.
We have a motion to approve the minutes from February 17th. Do I have a second?
I'll second, Rudy.
You're okay, Mark? Vote on that. Rudy, yes. Mark?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Judy?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Josh?
Yes.
And Rob?
Yes.
Okay. All right. That takes care of that. Other business?
Hey, quick question. Oh,
yes, go ahead.
If I didn't get a chance to read them, what should my vote be? Should I just assume people read it and it's good, or should I abstain from the vote, or?
You can abstain.
Even though I was at the meeting?
Yes, you can. If you haven't had a chance to review the minutes and you don't feel comfortable approving them because you haven't had a chance to review them, then by all means, you can abstain, and your reason for abstaining is that you haven't had time to review them and feel uncomfortable with reviewing with approving something that you haven't reviewed.
Okay, just wondering.
Yeah, do you want to change to abstention, or do you want to? You
can, yes.
Okay. So we'll put it as Josh is going to be an abstention for the minutes. Yep, no problem.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Other business under town planning. Question came up on an update on the impact fees, and I've been kind of watching those myself so far. We're really in a tough position to try to do impact fees. I'm still reviewing or trying to review the state regulations to see how we can justify them. But so far, like we talked about when we were in the capital improvements plan project, that it's tough to try to come up with impact fees for the school because there's really not going to be any enlargement of the schools because the
50%, you've got a lot of room for impact.
Right. plenty of room. The highways, the roads, we talked about things like that. Everything that Dennis had put into his plan is basically all maintenance items. There's no new roads. There's no major upgrades that would widen roads and do all kinds of other things that have seen. Everything's basically taking the roads we have and just making them so that you can drive on them again. So that would be tough.
The only one that we probably would have any impact in, and that is that other end of Curry Road.
Right, and that's
the only one that I can think of.
Right, and that would be if we really, well, again, if we had some development over there, like we did the last time, though, is that we kind of got away from the impact fee and did offsite improvements. Which...
But it could be either way.
It could. So that's the only thing that we could do, but then if we do the impact fees, remember, if we have someone paying an impact fee over on, say, Brown Road, we can't use it up on Courier Road.
Correct.
So that's going to be the toughest thing to try to figure out.
And there's time frames, too, on it.
6 years.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you give it back.
Right. And I don't know if that's with interest or not.
I don't know if it's with interest or not either, but I know you end up cut the check back to them.
And the other one that was in there was for solid waste disposal. But again, I think that the facility that we have right now, no one's come forward with anything for the capital improvements plan and said we need to enlarge the transfer station.
And our population hasn't warranted that either.
No.
I mean, we've been bouncing around the same number.
We didn't enlarge the swap shop.
Well, you know, again, that's kind of an interesting point because that really didn't do anything to enlarge the footprint. It was kind of like a maintenance item because it reduced the amount of material we had to go pay to have hauled off. And to me, when going through the regulations and the laws, the biggest thing is that it was clear that these were going to have to be concrete capital items, not maintenance items or replacement items in here. Like even fire apparatus. I was thinking like, oh, maybe we can take a look at fire apparatus. Well, really, they bought a fire engine to replace a fire engine.
Right.
So there's no need to have another fire engine over there, and so it's just replacing in kind. So I haven't been able to find anything yet that we can really pin down as being capital improvements plan, but hopefully people will just keep looking at it and see if they can see things. As most cases, we've been getting developers to pay for the things that are going to be affected in Candia by someone developing a piece of property.
And the only other one that I can think of is Crowley Road, and that again is going to be off-site improvements because of the impact that they are. So it's not like we're generating another road, but it is going to require some improvements.
Right.
But
right.
Those are the only two I can think of that really would be impacted.
Yeah. Yeah, if anybody can think of anything else, you know, but the law is very clear in that if we do impact fees, it has to reflect the master plan, and it has to be reflected in the capital improvements plan. So if it's not in either one of those, then we can't justify it. And if we do find something that we think should be an impact fee, well, we could go back and say...
We do that when we're doing the review this year, right?
We can do that again this year when we do the review, yeah. Yeah. So, and that is going to come up. So... that's what I got on town planning.
I got one more thing.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to let the rest of the planning board know, and plus anybody that's on Zoom. We did have our first safety facilities meeting Monday night. There was four of us initially, the chief and Rick also from the PD, and Russ, Dan, and myself, the original four. And we also invited Jim Wilson from the fire department and Joe Fleming, is that?
Flanagan
from the fire department. So, and Mark Shelbeck. So there is now seven of us on that committee. We met for about an hour and a half. It was very productive, I thought. There was nothing negative. And we presented a piece of property that four of us, the initial four, looked at, which is the old Viking Oil propane down the street here, the red roof. And looked at that property. The owner took us around. We spent a couple hours down there. We were very impressed. And so we're beginning to work on the feasibility of that being the facility to house the PD, the highway department, and then future fire department. May not initially, I don't think we're looking at a whole new facility for the fire department, but maybe down the road in a couple of years, another structure that would house some of the newer equipment because they're so cramped for space. So again, it was very productive. We've got different work groups. There's three different people that are going to be working on different aspects of it, looking at what's going to take to retrofit that present building that was their office for the PD. It's pretty close to being, you know, ready as it is, but it is going to need some changes inside to accommodate the PD. There's also a pad, concrete pad with sewer hookup and electrical hookup on site right there at that pad that would accommodate something for the highway department. So we were very impressed with that. We weren't aware of that until we went down and actually looked at the site. The site has got... Pardon?
It's more than just the property then. You think the buildings that are there could be repurposed for some of the stuff that we put in.
Absolutely. The one that what you see that used to be a garage and they were going to have it as a restaurant, that building was their office space. So everything in there is set up like you'd see in an old mill building, open ceilings with no load-bearing walls. So it's very easy to retrofit it inside. And for wiring and IT hookups and everything, it really was impressive. Plus a garage entrance in the back so they could have their ability to come in, Sallyport, they call them for the PD, where they come in and build a secure location to, you know, secure people as they process them. So it really met, I want to say, almost 90% of what the PD's needs are. And again, there's plenty of water, plenty of sewerage, plenty of drainage on site. All that was designed for having a restaurant. So it's far more than what we would need. The house that's there.
Rudy, there's a bunch of stuff coming through in the chat, so I don't know if you need to. We're probably not open for public comment at this point, so I don't know if there's a time for that at the end.
Yes, there's going to be. As a matter of fact, it's going to come up and after one more item.
Okay.
So,
Brian, how much are you asking for the property?
It's just under a mil. 900 and something, it has gone down. And that's why we were pretty much thinking that, you know, even if we found a piece of property and built a PD, we're going to be right at the mill probably, you know, $1 million level anyways. So
what's the acreage over there?
Just under 5.
Okay.
So we were very impressed anyways. And like I say, this is the first meeting, so there's a lot of little subgroups that are working on different aspects of it, so we can start putting some numbers together. And again, we can't do anything till next March. And whether it's still available by next March, who knows? They can't hold it, and there's no way we can secure it. So we'll just see what happens.
Yeah.
Brian, there's a chat on there. I don't know if you can see it. I'll read it to you. It was question was asked about from Paul Fleming.
Paul Fleming?
Brian, yeah, Paul Fleming.
Okay.
Brian, why do we need a safety complex for multi-$1 million? What is the value added? Is there a document for that under a purchase and sales?
Is there a document?
Correct.
No, we don't have anything for it right now. But the reason that we need that kind of a facility for the PD is, and there's going to be some information coming out on the town website. And Mark, what is that thing that your wife's in charge of?
The Candia Community Awareness Group.
Okay.
Candia. So they'll be putting some posts out on that.
So they'll also be putting some posts out there. And the chief is going to be putting together a number of issues that they need to address for the PD to function. But one of the main concerns is that it is really unsafe the way we operate over at the PD now. They cannot bring somebody in to process them without a second officer with them, because they have no way of securing somebody while they're processing them. Right now, another officer has to be there, or they have to get somebody from the sheriff's department to meet them here to do that. There's no bathroom facility for the public or someone that they're processing over there, so they have to physically be walked down the aisle, the hallway, into this one bathroom we got. And that's only a couple of the issues. There are many more. And like I say, this is just the start of this whole process, and we'll welcome any input that anybody has and other pieces of property that possibly could be used. So we're open to almost anything at this point.
And Paul had a follow-up question in there. I'm going to read it for you.
And by all means, you can contact me personally if you want to.
Yeah. For what, how many arrests? Brian, I'm confused. Why can't we just transfer them to another facility?
I suppose you could, but I think the chief could probably answer that a lot better than I could.
Yeah, I think at this point, it's probably not something that we have discussing issues at the planning board at this point
no,
in time.
No, I just wanted to update everybody where we were.
It does reflect what we looked at in the capital improvements project
right. Plan
that we did. So it's one project that seems to be moving forward based on what we did last year for a lot of work that the board and also Brian spent. What, 16 months? So, but yeah, there'll be more discussions on that.
So by all means, Paul, you can give me a call sometime if you want.
And he said, oh, I will. All right. The next item on the other business is we had an informational on Tim Fortin. And that's the property that's on
Brown Road.
Yep. Where we talked about the lot, the subdivision that they want to do over there, and it has the common driveway. meeting. And I believe at the last meeting, what I had some concerns about it, and Lisa did do some research and talked to town council, and town council was did agree that we should address the concerns. He said that it can be done. It has been done in other areas, and from what we gather, Lisa and I can gather with talking to town council, is the conceptual thing that we had with having the driveway, a shared driveway, but having the boundary line coming up to a certain, like I think it was 100 feet off there, as being the driveway for the two lots, makes it so that, yes, it's okay. It doesn't need zoning board of adjustment approval because it does have, under our regulations, a driveway at the front of the property. But he even said that there has been some cases where that didn't even happen. But his
suggestion
was is that we make sure that there's a good solid easement document that's on record at the registry that clearly outlines the responsibilities for the parties, and that these are shared driveways, and there's going to be responsibilities on both parts, and that people have to realize what they're, I don't want to say giving up, but they are going to be kind of giving up a certain amount of control over the driveway.
Well, and it's not so much just that, but for future.
Right.
Right now, we know and we caution them that, you know, this is a father and son, but that's not forever. So if it's recorded that way, it'll be down in Rockingham for any future buyers, owners, that is a shared driveway and these are the dimensions, and yeah, it's on there.
Yeah.
So I'm going through one of those personally right now. Jim Franklin's helping me down in Merrimack at the house my mother lives in now that used to be my father's, that he had an agreement with his neighbor. He passed away 11 years ago now. There was nothing ever put into the deed. They're using like a big swath of the backyard and property at, which is now my and my sister's house. And they're like, well, why is someone over here surveying? I'm like, well, we're going to do some work in the backyard. And well, it looks like you guys are all the way in our backyard. No deed, no history. I think as long as we follow the guidance there of council, as far as making sure it's always documented, that's what we want to see put, right, you know, in writing somewhere. So there's, if I ever went to sell that place right now,
you'd
I
be
would
held
probably
up.
Run into a problem because would, there would yep. be some type of a property line dispute, right?
Yeah. Right.
Absolutely.
And this way it will be recorded at the registry, so anybody doing a title search, it'll pop up and it'll be quite clear. So we were on the right track.
Yeah.
So,
and you know, we all know that this is the least impact into that wet area. So the impact has already been created, and we're not creating any more. So
right.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll have Lisa let both Jim and Tim Fortin know that they can come back with their informational. Because basically this is what we told them at that last one, and the only thing we were going to do was just to check with town council to make sure that we were on
right, that's the only solid condition footing. We had, right?
I think it was, yeah. I think it was. Yeah, we just want to make sure that we weren't creating an issue.
Right.
Said, but we want to avoid it. All right, any questions on that? All right, the only other thing that I have is that I did post this actually on the Candia community webpage. It was just on the explanation of the changes for that we talked about before, that, and this is nothing new. We released these a long time ago, but I just wanted to let people know that we didn't have an opportunity to put anything in the, well, we probably did, but we didn't put anything in the town report. But I just wanted to, at this meeting, just go over once again what the explanation of the changes were in the proposals that we did, and I'm not going to read the amendments themselves, but just the reason for them. The amendments are, you can look at them either on the webpage or actually in the Facebook page too. But the zoning amendment one was the amendment that deletes a restriction on the use of an existing non-conforming lot due only to the fact that it is next to another lot, conforming or non-conforming, owned by the same owner. That's the one where we had that issue where we pretty much determined that it was discriminatory, actually. We'd have a hard time trying to defend that in court. So to avoid that, we proposed getting rid of that. The Second Amendment, that's the one that adds the existing home services contractor that we had, just puts that into the table of uses. It was one of the things that the amendment passed to do that, but it wasn't updated in the table, so we're putting it into the table so that everything is there. There's no changes to any of the ordinances. Zoning Amendment 3 was to change the term small-scale part-time operation as referring to in agricultural use, that we were just changing it to from small-scale part-time to more appropriate accessory use for better clarification. And we did discuss that with members of the Agricultural Commission, and they were good with that. The fourth one was to eliminate a reference to fire hydrants in the zoning ordinances, and working with the chief, we determined that we don't have fire hydrants per se, and so it was a item that we could really get rid of and streamline that much better. The fifth one was, fifth and sixth one were actually combined in this run, is that the zoning amendment 5 was to remove the administration and enforcement section of the zoning ordinances, take that out of section 12.06, and then zoning 6 was to put that into the proper section that it should have been in the ordinance. There's no change to anything in here. All we're doing is making it so that we go into a much more clear pathway. And the last one is the one that Scott actually brought up, is to change one of the regulations concerning wetlands to be more in line with what DES regulations are. So just wanted to bring that up. If there's any questions by anybody that's either listening in or whatever, we'd be more than happy.
Rudy, I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
When you read the proposed amendments, it doesn't say that it's recommended by the planning board, you know, any sort of vote. Unlike the other ones, like the select board or the budget committee, is there a way that we can act, that the voters can see that, hey, we were 7-0 that we recommended it, or is that not possible?
I think and I'm sorry, I don't know, this is just my personal opinion. I think anything that we put in as a update, we've already approved it, right? We've already supported it. I don't know if we could put that vote in there, right, to show how much we supported it. I'm not sure.
We can. I don't think it's ever been done before. But as Rob said, we go through public hearings on each one of these things. And like, unlike, well, yeah. Do you,
yeah, well,
I think
Scott is right.
I recall from some years ago, Rudy, I'm not 100% on it, but I think I recall that there was a point in time when it used to say recommended by the planning board, you know, 6-1 or 5-2 or whatever.
Yeah,
it is the final statement, and that people are going to see when they're voting, if they see that
nice
down
for
there.
For the voters to look and say, right. You know, like when I look at things and I see, man, it says 7-0 by the, you know, 5-0 with the select board and 9-0 with the budget committee. I'm like, all right. That's why we have these people, I guess, because I don't know the details, you know?
Right.
So I thought perhaps we would get more support if people could see, hey, we were 7-0 on these things.
That's, yeah, I think it would be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't, like I said, I don't know if it's...
Point. I mean, I'm making the assumption that everyone thinks it's on there because we've already approved it, right? If we didn't approve it at the planning board level, it wouldn't go to the warrant, right? But to see how strongly we've approved some of those probably makes sense. I think Scott makes a good point.
Correct, correct. Yeah, no, I think that we could do that. I don't know, let's see, that's not considered a petition article. It's something that we do, so it'd be similar to what the board would do for your warrant article,
well,
correct?
Well, because the money ones, yeah, we do typically because the budget committee, but the money ones aren't required, but we still, the last few years, have weighed in, even when we're not required to.
Yeah, I think that's great. That'd be a great thing to do. Kind of late to do it this year, but
a little late.
But I think that next year we're probably going to have a couple of them that would probably be a good idea to do that. We have public hearings on pretty much everything that we do. And do you guys have actual public hearings on the warrants, or do you just do them in a regular meeting?
No, we have actually public hearings. Yeah.
Okay.
Some of them, the petition ones, are actually required public hearings. So.
Right. Right. Okay. Yeah. Good idea, Scott. All right. Anything else? Anybody have any?
I have one thing.
Yeah. Go ahead, Judy.
Yeah, I just wanted to check on the progress of the different boards and committees talking about using one GIS mapping program.
Yeah, good question. I talked to Brian, started to have some conversation with him. What we're going to try to do is to set up a meeting with everybody that we need to have involved with this. Stantec does have some GIS people too, so I think it's starting to flow very well into what we had planned on doing, and I think what we can do is probably come up with a little bit more of a concrete plan so that, you know, when we go to the Board of Selectmen and also to the Budget Committee, we can say, hey, this is the long-range plan, this is what we need the money for every year, and this is what we're gaining to. So I have to give you credit for coming forward with some other options and some other views on this of what other things we need. It'd be much better to have a nice solid plan of everybody involved so that we had a roadmap of where we want to go instead of kind of like everybody running off into different directions like it has done in the past. So,
right.
And I think that the planning board, I think, is the perfect venue for coordinating that.
Mm-hmm. So. Good. Thank you.
Yeah. And I'm not going to bring it up today, but the next meeting we have, we'll probably do a zoning regulation review committee meeting so we can get an update on the various projects that people are working on. People have been sending me some stuff, which has been really, really good, just for some comments. And I think we'll have some good discussions in our next meeting.
Is that what you want to talk about, Whitstock?
Yep.
Yes. Yeah. And I noticed that, you know, your background there, Josh, is you know, ready. Is the stage going to be right about where you are behind the... All right.
The stage will be pointed away from the neighbors.
Then. There you go.
you guys are doing great work on getting that stuff. I appreciate you keeping me up to date on it. And like I said, I'll give you some my thoughts and stuff as we go along, but... We'll
yeah, I mean, we appreciate the feedback because there were a couple of those areas we kind of got to a point where we said, geez, are what we're doing here, is it in conflict with what might already be in place, right? So appreciate the feedback.
Yeah, no problem, no problem. All right, anybody have anything else?
Public? No public.
Joyce isn't here, so I can...
motion to adjourn.
A motion to adjourn has been submitted. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, we'll go through this. Rudy, yes. Mark?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Judy?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Josh and Rob. Josh?
Oops, yes. Josh
and Rob?
Yes.
All right, very good. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Scott.